Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how Bob Marley likes his donuts?
No.
We're jamming.
That's such an English joke. I'm embarrassed that I laughed at that.
And you know what Bob Marley says when he offers you a donut?
What does he say?
I hope you like jamming too.
Ross, I full on fell for that. there was no even pretense. I like had no idea that there was a second part of that.
You walked wide, eyes wide open.
So the Sounders didn't try my strategy that I suggested, where they put 10 guys in front of the goal and then one guy in front
for the goalkeeper, Club America game.
For the Club America game. And I got to tell you, I was right. They were up 1-0. And if they would have just done the Gregor and put Fry in front, they would have been walking into the next round of the old Champions League.
Why they didn't listen to you, I have absolutely no idea.
I've sent a few emails. Not heard a response.
Really?
Tactical genius. I'm adding that to my business card. Besides, right now it says Mornings and Tyrannosaurus. Just to confirm that.
Let's have a look.
That's a real thing.
Mornings stroke I like that.
Yeah.
That gives you kind of an endangered feel.
I'm extinct.
Your business card is quite the style icon.
That's not good, Ross. That's not good. I shouldn't be extinct yet. I'm too young for that.
Well, you put it there.
Damn it.
No one else is telling you to be a Tyrannosaurus.
But look, I even got a little bit of clip art. There's like a little tiny clip art right there.
That is tiny. You need glasses to even read. And business cards are small enough as it is. Putting a Tyrannosaurus the size of a thimble, a pinprick, ain't going to do anyone much good. Anyway, maybe if you send that card into the Sounders and they see the tiny Tyrannosaurus, they'll immediately equate it with top quality coaching soccer skills.
They probably, or they'll fear.
That's another one. Rule by fear.
Yeah, I've got I should be running for president of the U.S., man. I feel like that's one of the major tactics being employed right now.
Seems like everybody's considering running for president, and then they're all being scared away by Mr. Trump.
I know it's not very English to talk with your family or friends or anything about where you stand politically.
Mm.
Like, you guys are kind of buttoned up about these things. But
yeah, we're very reserved over the pond.
I had a real battle with my aunt over politics, and that's pretty weird.
How do you leave it afterwards?
Well, the part where I was like, well, that sounds racist. And she's like, so you're calling me racist? And I was like, if that's what you believe.
Okay.
We haven't had any resolution yet, Ross, so it's pretty weird right now.
How long has it been?
Oh, I don't know.
Days?
Christmas.
Oh, right. Months.
Sure. So, yeah.
Yikes.
Good times.
Yeah, like it. But Sounders should have beaten Club America after going that goal ahead. I say should have beaten them. They shouldn't have beaten them, but they had a chance to try and establish something there.
With my method, it was a done deal.
Yeah. Next time.
That was the... I like to call that the other Champions League because we're watching proper Champions League action, the UEFA Champions League right now, a battle of European and I guess also Russian teams.
Russia's in Europe. Even Israel is technically part of UEFA, even though it's not part of Europe.
Okay, so Russia's part of Asia, though, right?
No. It depends which part of Russia you're talking about. Well, not the western part. I mean, St. Petersburg's next door to Finland.
Is it multicontinental?
I guess so.
I've never thought about Russia being that... I mean, I know it's massive, but...
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Wow. I look at Edison... What's his name? Cavani?
Cavani, yeah. We're watching... That's Chelsea PSG.
Yeah, Chelsea PSG. LOL Chelsea. I don't know why I hate Chelsea so much. I think it's because of John Terry. But there are certainly other clubs in England that I stand less. Who? I do not care for Manchester United.
Why?
I do not care for City.
Oh.
Because when
the Premier League was first introduced to me now almost a decade ago. It was during that reign of dominance and arrogance for United. It was just that Sir Alex Ferguson has done a wonderful job with that club, and he ruled with an iron fist, but it just felt like he was the... I don't know. It was just so arrogantly run. Like, there was, like, how dare you even consider someone would be as good as Manchester United?
And I guess from my point of being in the sports media, there was a time where, basically, Sir Alex Ferguson, the last maybe 10 years of his reign, felt he was above being questioned by the press. And as a journalist, you get very annoyed by that, because the vast majority of sports journalists are just trying to do their job. And he wouldn't do post-match press conferences. He would only do bare minimum media. He wouldn't even do contractually obligated stuff, like speaking to the BBC for their prime match of the day highlights show on a Saturday night.
He's a real Marshawn Lynch.
That kind of, well, yes and no, because Marshawn Lynch is likable.
he looks even sort of like a Donald Trump with a better hairstylist.
Kinda.
Self-aware. What you working on there, buddy?
It's got some mango in my teeth. I can't get it out.
We've got, as you said, 10 kilos of dried mango here.
If ever there was a reason to get annoyed at my wife, it was for going to Costco and buying literally 25,000 kilograms of dried mango. It cost about $18. The first piece we tried, it was like filth. And so for the last 6 or 7 months, this huge bag of dried mango has been sitting in our top cupboard in the kitchen. And it got to the stage today at lunchtime where I'd eaten my lunch. I was still desperately hungry. Had nothing left in the fridge, and I just went for broke. I was in crisis mode, and I finally snapped and had to go back to eating the dried mango. So help yourself.
I found some six-month-old Oreos yesterday. They were still packaged. They hadn't been opened. They were like a little snack pack with just six Oreos in there, and I was like, well, going for it.
I mean, come on. Think about it. How much food, unless it's got fur growing on it, is actually going to kill us?
How often do you eat burritos?
Not as often as I like. Why, do you eat furry burritos?
No, I'm just, that's called a purrito, and it's when a cat gets into the sleeve of your hoodie. It's hilarious.
No, but you don't eat the cat in your
hood. No. The missus would be very upset by that.
A little bit chewy.
Yeah, they don't cook down very well. I did see some cat-on-cat crime today, and that's awesome. It's 4:15 in the morning, and I'm real tired, and one cat is like... fired up because he's a cat, so he's like running up and down the hallway, and he sees me, and he like gets down real low, and he takes off running, which is hilarious in itself. Little did I know that the little cat was waiting, and as he went running by, from nowhere jumps this ferocious beast, tackling the other one into the wall. Then they rolled around to the ground, and then they both went running opposite directions. And hilarious for me, again, the missus being sound asleep at 4:15 in the morning, probably found this less entertaining, but good show for me.
Well, I hope you videoed it and then put it on Instagram with the hashtag cats of Instagram. Isn't that what everyone does with their cats?
Hashtag cats of Instagram. Mm. No, we have one of the cats has thumbs, and so he'd be a great...
Just Instagrams it himself?
Yeah, he did. You could, okay, cast over. That's the joke we're going out on. That was incredible. Yeah, so he's got, all our hashtags are hashtag cat thumbs. So if you ever search for hashtag cat thumbs, you'll see Peanut.
If like in my mango eating ways, I'm in a desperate bind for something interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a go.
I got to give a shout out to Pepper. She used to work at the End with us. She's gone on to work for the Cheeseburger Network, and they're the people that have all the cat. It was the original cat memes on the internet. They were the ones that came up with this. The I Can Has Cheeseburger was the website.
Right.
They were the ones that gave voices to cats on the internet. And so
obviously.
She works there now, and she compiles lists of things. I got to tell her to search for hashtag cat thumbs.
There we go.
You
could become moderately famous.
Hold on. Hashtag cat thumbs. Oh, I'm very excited about this.
You're writing a lot of stuff down today.
Well, they make me do stuff with this at work now, and so I figure the more I write ahead of time, the less I have to like think back to the things we talked about, and then like I can just look at this and be like, oh yeah,
good.
As opposed to having to listen back.
So basically, you're going to make sure by writing stuff down, it's kind of judging whether we're having an interesting conversation. So if you write nothing down, it means I've been really boring.
You just made me laugh when I was writing business card and I wrote business carp. So evidently there'll be a fish.
Something. I was going to say there's something fishy about that.
Oh boy. Oh, we've got a peanut gallery in the background enjoying some lunch. It's like it's a 2-year fan now. Long time. She goes all the way back.
Yeah, near 2-year old will be heckling us throughout this. So we apologize in advance.
I don't apologize. I think it's wonderful. I encourage it. Keep it up, kid. I'm taking a big bite of samosa or something like that. Oh.
Big fan vegetable samosa. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, starting
are you raising a vegetarian?
No, but I just thought veggie samosa looked nice. And it was
sounds good.
Whole Foods? Front of one of those cabinets in local supermarket. Who can afford Whole Foods?
Whole paycheck, Ross.
Yeah, exactly.
Awkward. All right, well, we had one Sounders match, and I was wondering what your response would be to that. Last week I was like, well, what's your stance on it? You're like, well, I'm still going to watch the games. I still like it. And we had talked also previously about like what your connection to Darby County is. Oh. Are you broadcasting too?
Hold the line. Come on the cast.
And we're back. It was awesome to see you tweeting about the Sounders. What did you think of the first match overall? The rate of play and the kind of the bungles and the excellent performances from people.
It kind of had one of those first game of the season things written all over it.
Yeah.
And probably because it was the first game of the season.
Whoa, that's
bizarre,
up.
That, isn't it?
Yeah, that math is solid. It's sound.
Yeah. I mean, you look at two teams that clearly weren't in their rhythm yet. And no surprises for the Sounders because they're trying a new formation.
I'm surprised they stuck with it, considering that Obafemi Martins went to China.
And that's one of the issues, actually, that we can probably get into more as the season goes on. But Seattle, under Ziggy Schmidt for 7 years, have been a 4-4-2 team. Four defenders, four midfielders, two strikers. But they signed Jordan Morris, the homegrown kid, over the winter, and he's a forward. You had Clint Dempsey, you had Nelson Valdez, whose best position is also forward, and Obafemi Martins. So four starting calibre forwards with only two spots. So Ziggy Schmidt, I think quite rightly, looked to play to the team's strengths, so changed the formation to have three forwards.
Yeah.
So going forward, you get more of those options and hopefully more out of those guys. But there are so many different tactical nuances that go with that. And the biggest worry I had was losing the combination of Dempsey and Martins. When they played together up front as a two, they were so good. The best in the league at forming little one-twos, that understanding and ripping opposition defences apart. With a three-forward formation, one of them had to flare out a little bit wider and you lose some of that connection. Now, very shortly before the season started, Martins get shipped off and sold to China.
Yeah.
So you lose your best player.
He gets good noodles, though. That's what he gains that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot more money.
Oh, yeah, money.
But
yeah.
I'm sure it was the noodles that
buy a lot of noodles with that money.
Swung him.
Yeah.
So then you've got three bona fide forwards, and Ziggy Schmidt, having gone all preseason with a 4-3-3, stuck with it. Big question is now, how long will that last? Will he consider going back to a 4-4-2? But the jury will still be out, and still be out for a while on that formation, purely because they haven't had enough time in game situations to see whether it gets the best out of the players they've got. Now, the opening game against Sporting Kansas City at home, first 20 minutes, they look really good. And it was actually Andreas Evenschitz, the Austrian midfielder, playing
right
behind those guys, who was making them click. Morris missed a really good chance. I think he got a bit of stage fright on his MLS debut.
I mean, all he had was a keeper and a big goal to hit, and he really
hit it into Rosie. Yeah, that was the extra point.
That's okay. I wanted him to score it, obviously, but I want him to get that out of his system at home, to like hear the crowd go crazy for him after doing that. Like, that's the right place environment to shake those jitters off.
They were super supportive of him, and he's a hometown kid, and I think they'll give him a lot of slack. There's an argument, again, probably something for another day. You could say he's arguably under more pressure signing for Seattle because he's in front of the hometown fans that know him and care about him, rather than choosing the German Bundesliga, where he would have been a relative unknown. But to finish off the point about this 4-3-3, they only got to play it for 42 minutes because O'Neill Fisher got red carded. And it was a silly tackle. It was a reckless tackle. You can't go in two-footed, leaving the ground.
No matter how much ball you get, also.
The ball doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter.
I played the ball defense is the most ridiculous defense anybody could have. Because if you're endangering the safety of an opponent, doesn't matter whether you got the ball or whether you attempted to play the ball. In the laws of the game, it's either a foul or an attempt to foul, which can draw a yellow or a red card. It's not about the level of which you contacted the opposition player or the level of contact you got with the ball. It's all about, was he being reckless? Was he endangering the safety of his opponent? And he absolutely was. So it kind of stuck in my craw a bit when, of course, Sounders fans are going to stick up for him, and you'd like to stick up for the guy. He's only young. But he made an error. He accepted it, I think. Ziggy Schmidt accepted it was a red card. Most neutral observers and most who know the laws of the game would say, yeah, red card,
right.
Which meant that Seattle had to change their formation, and this 4-3-3 is still very much jury out because we haven't really seen enough of it yet.
Well, it was super interesting to see the replay and just know, like, from our vantage watching the game, you couldn't tell as much. You saw the guy go sliding in with 2 feet up, that's a thing or whatever, but you couldn't see the direction or how close he was to the player. And yeah, I don't think the player was actually any direct harm, but he violated the rule, and so that's that. Like, I think the guy got out of the way to his credit, which is good.
But again, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because you broke that rule, and the ref called it. If the ref hadn't have called it, the other coach would have obviously been incensed, like knowing that that was a huge opportunity for an advantage.
Yeah.
I do find it. I always find this funny. I asked the co-president of ECS this. I was like, why do you guys cheer for the team to get a red? There's a chant that they do that studs up, Sounders, studs up. And a studs up tackle is an automatic red card. And that's a cheer that they do. So when he's coming off the field and they start chanting that, I was like, you're chanting that's like when the dog pees on the floor giving it a treat. Like, you're chanting for the very thing that just happened and got you penalized and lost to the game. Not necessarily lost the game, but put you in a spot to not win the game, which is crazy to me. But they would argue that it's a fighting cheer, and I appreciate that. He set me straight on that.
They would, yeah. Even then, they wouldn't be the first set of fans in the soccer world.
Of course.
To be chanting something that wouldn't necessarily make sense.
Usually we can blame our friend Beer for part of that. But that was an interesting change, and I thought the Sounders handled it pretty well, considering.
Yeah, so they were 0-0 at that point, and they created some good chances early on. They looked really good for the first 20 minutes. Probably, again, part of that is the adrenaline of playing at home, season opener. You want to impress the fans.
It's been like that for the other matches, too. Even against America and stuff, they were playing in those first 20 minutes. It really came out. And then, especially in Mexico City, you kind of see the legs slow down a little bit because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the preseason as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lack of fitness that you have from you're not halfway through match fit.
And the players won't be fully match fit yet, I don't think. But they'll be close to it.
Yeah.
And after that, Sporting Kansas City got into the game, and they themselves were missing some key pieces, particularly in the midfield. Paolo Nagamura wasn't there. Brad Davis wasn't there. Benny Failhaber, one of the league MVPs of last season, wasn't there. So they were missing some key players, and they took a while to get into the game. But the red card changed the dynamic. It meant Seattle had to bunker in, basically. Two banks of four. So what I mean by that is four defenders and then four midfielders with just one striker. So a change of formation because of the O'Neill Fisher red card. And you can still defend very well with that because you're defending with eight guys. Those two banks of four should always be able to be sturdy. There shouldn't be any more holes than if you were playing a 4-4-2. It just means you can't press the ball as much and you have to be a bit smarter when you're in possession. But eventually that wore Seattle down, and Sporting got into the game, had another really good chance themselves through Josh Holiday and didn't take it. And then, of course, the unfortunate goal really feel for Stefan Fry.
Yeah.
Because last season, he was one of the best and most consistent keepers in MLS. Long shot comes in. It squirms underneath his body. Maybe the new turf. It didn't skip as he would have expected it to on the harder surface from last season. And under his body it goes. And that's the winning goal. And you really feel for him because he's also one of those guys that is hugely introspective. He thinks about everything. He takes a long time to rationalize stuff and go over stuff in his own mind. He's a pretty deep thinker in that regard. And it took him a long time when he came to Seattle to build his confidence up because he'd had two injury rat years at Toronto.
I just keep seeing the replay of the thing where he went out to the corner to kick a ball, to clear a ball.
Oh, and Vancouver.
He flubbed it and it landed right in the guy's, right into his, I mean, he almost volleyed it. It was that easy and scored on him in an embarrassing moment. He is an introspective guy and it'll be, I'm curious to see. He's made some tweets and stuff to accept responsibility for it, but I wonder how much he'll hang on to that before he can let it go.
And he said, look, it'll take a long while to get over this mistake. And the thing is, and Casey Keller, my old colleague and quality goalkeeper in his own right, would say, as a goalkeeper, you have to have a short memory because you have to forget the mistake and move on to the next. I just hope Stefan Fry won't sit on that and let it settle too long in his mind, because you have to move on. You have to just blank it out. You have to accept it was an error. It's nothing wrong necessarily with his technique because he's a very good goalkeeper. These things occasionally happen to goalkeepers, and I'm sure he'll come back stronger from it. But yeah, I hope he doesn't dwell on it for too long, because that's when it really can start to affect you.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's never the way that you want to see a game get called either on one guy. Like when it's a team failure, it's one thing, but when it's one guy that has to sit on that, that's so tough, man. I feel for him, but at the same time, he's got a good squad around him. Brad Evans picked up that injury, that shoulder injury, did not look good.
No, and he had an MRI on it, and to be determined. But as we talk right now, and the thing for the Sounders is, with Roman Torres out injured still till probably late spring, the starting 11 is very good and will compete with anybody in MLS. There's no doubt about that. Even with the loss of the best player, Obafemi Martins, they'll still be competitive and still be, I think, you know, in the upper echelons. But the problem comes in that substitute role with the 12 to 18 in the 18-man squad.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of depth there. The Sounders said over the summer, we're going to get younger and faster. You can read a couple of different things into that. That, yeah, they wanted to be more athletic and to be younger. That's absolutely true. They had an aging squad last season, and they brought in some younger people like Jovan Jones. But he is the 24-year-old, effectively only replaced a 23-year-old in O'Neill Fisher at left back, because Leo Gonzalez hadn't been playing consistently all season. Dylan Remick, again, 24 at the time. So they didn't really get any younger in that regard, and not really much faster. And then in the middle of the park, you still have very experienced guys. So maybe when they said younger and faster, the other aspect of this is, actually, we've got to be under the salary cap. We've got to be compliant with the salary cap. And we spent a lot of money last summer when the club was on this horrendous skid and run of results on experienced, expensive guys to fill those gaps in a desperate rush to get results going again.
Yeah.
And instead of necessarily fighting their way through and coaching their way through it, they bought their way out of those problems. And so they had to then let a lot of experienced pros go at the end of this last season. No more Chad Barrett, Gonzalo Pineda retires, Lamar Nagel is shipped off, Obafemi Martins is sold, Leo Gonzalez retires. And so there, just counting those guys, not even including Marco Papa, who was 26, 27, six experienced guys who can make a big difference for you either as starters or off the bench, no longer there. Chad Barrett, 6-7 goals a season off the bench, tremendous. But that experience is all gone, and you're left largely with kids on the bench. Zach Scott as the defensive option is the more experienced guy.
I got excited when he came on, man.
Michael Farfan, if he can get up to speed, a little bit older and more experienced. But apart from that, you worry to see how many players off the bench in the squad can also change a game, like the first 11. Now, they're looking at bringing in an attacking midfielder, a highly priced player called a designated player, where the Obafemi Martins money can be allocated to. But at the moment, if they get a couple of injuries like Brad Evans, then all of a sudden that squad looks very thin underneath that first 11.
I want him to pick up Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain at the end of the Arsenal season because he's out of favor. He's real fast. He's young. He could probably play for many squads in England, but attacking midfield with some speed, perfect. So, Alex, I know you're listening. Give us a consideration, okay? And thanks for listening. That's real nice.
Nice. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, that's real nice. It's nuts. Jovan Jones, man. Every time, from my vantage point, every time anything went wrong in the match, that was as a result of him screwing up, he was there to claim it. I love that heart. I love seeing a guy give the ball up and chase it down and win it back. There's something that some of the older guys maybe don't want to do as much of, or maybe don't feel the need to do as much of because they're out of position then or something. And it's great to see a guy with that much heart out there running around or earning his place.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are excited about his potential in Seattle. He came from the worst team in the league last year, Chicago, in a rough season, and is now with one of the better teams. So it'll be really interesting to see how he fits into that left-back role. And there's quite a lot of responsibility this year on the fullbacks in this 4-3-3 formation, because without trying to get too technical, if you're playing three forwards, you've only got the three midfielders, and who's going to cover those wide grounds when you go forward? Not the three midfielders, they'll be fairly central. So the fullbacks on the right and the left will have to coordinate with each other and take it in turns to cover a lot of that attacking ground to provide the width that Seattle will lose in only having three midfielders. So they need to have lots of energy. And Jovan Jones looks just like he can fit that bill. Now, the other part of that is, if the fullbacks are being asked to get forwards more, chances are they'll be out of position defensively more. And teams that are very quick in transition when Seattle lose the ball can exploit those gaps. And that's actually what led to O'Neill Fisher's red card. He was upfield trying to help out on offense. When the ball turned over, Sporting Kansas City moved into his right-back area, and he hurtled back, and in that sequence of play, wasn't quite at the first moment of getting back, but he was a little bit flustered. He then dived in. And they're the things that you have to really watch for with your fullbacks flying forwards in that formation, they have to track back, and they have to be able to know when to go, when to pick and choose their moments to attack, and when to stay in a good, solid defensive shape.
It reminds me so much of, it's all changed now, but when I was a kid, 10 years old or so, 8 to 10 years old playing soccer, AYSO soccer is the local public soccer thing or whatever, right? The American one. It was always a 3-3-3 with a sweeper in there somewhere. So it all lined up and it was a grid that everyone ran on. And then a kid that just kind of played out of position a little bit. And that was just to see the Sounders out there with three guys in a line on the offside line there and then swapping and running back and forth and stuff. It felt like running weave drills in soccer practice when I was a kid. And I'm like, you could see all the basics coming forward now.
Don't tell Ziggy Schmidt. You've done really well with your idea of parking the bus against Club America. And now you're telling him basically he's coaching kids soccer.
I got to tell you, I missed those jerseys that was like white on one side and blue on the other. And you just flipped it like you showed up. But are we the white team or the blue team today? Blue? Okay. Flip your jersey inside out. Or they were orange and white when I was a kid and then moved to blue and white. So good, man. So good.
Have you seen the Columbus Crew kit this year?
Listen, I thought that somebody had mistaken it for snow and they had tried to make some yellow snow and that's how they ended up with those. And they're like, I've got a design idea. And they're like, Dave, you're drunk. This is not we're not doing that. And he was like, yes, we are. And he sent it by accident to the printer or something. Like, those are embarrassing. If you play on that team, it must be embarrassing to run out in those. Luckily, both fans are pretty cool about it. So I know they have more than that, but
somebody's job going down the Swanee there, having whoever designed those kits.
I can't believe that was all signed off on. Like, to describe them, they're white. They look like they are urine stained. They have a nice light blue in them.
There's a lot going on.
It's a disaster.
There's a lot going on.
I want them to win, though, because not more than the Sounders, obviously, but I want them to win just so we all have to look at that and be like, oh my God. Just have them rub it in. I think it's weird how they make the, I didn't see the result, but I think it's weird how they make the last year's MLS Cup kick off the season playing each other again.
Yeah, I didn't know whether that was deliberate or just a scheduling quirk. Probably deliberate, because it's a good storyline. Yeah, sure. Portland beat Columbus 2-1 in Portland. They had an amazing TIFO down there as well with reversible cards. And it was good. It was really good. And a good way to start the season, by the way. It was the highest average attendance, I think, in MLS. I might be totally wrong, but 26,000 fans on average turned up for the opening games, the opening 10 games.
Oh, cool.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Mainly thanks to Orlando City, who, for the second season running, filled the Citrus Bowl. They had a big campaign called Fill the Bowl.
Oh, cool.
And they got 60,000 fans into the Citrus Bowl in Orlando for a 2-2 draw, thrilling 2-2 draw against the Sounders' next opponents, Rail Salt Lake, this Saturday. Orlando were 2-0 down and scored two goals to equalise in injury time, which is an amazing finish. And you'd hope the majority of those 60,000 fans come again for the next game. But 60,000 in Orlando again, having broken the Sounders' record last season for biggest average attendance in an expansion season. So big things are going on down there. It's really good to see the fans flocking out to watch Major League Soccer.
Ah, you get a name like Kaká out there and have him be so charismatic, and that's got to help a tremendous. Mm-hmm. He's like the opposite of Steven Gerrard, where it's like, hey, I bought you some beers, and then Kaká's like, I'm the greatest, and you're the greatest, and we're great, and everyone's like, yeah, we love this.
I like the enthusiasm. Yeah,
It's exciting. I think he's probably one of the coolest signings for the MLS, just someone of that caliber who is also excited to be doing it.
Yeah, he's really invested in it. He really has taken it.
Is he literally invested in it? Does he like own part of the team? Because I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. He's got enough money anyway from his
he's doing okay.
AC Milan and Real Madrid days.
It's not broadcaster money, but it is right almost there.
That $7.1 million a year, I think he can afford to shop at Whole Foods.
Well, I'll see him there, that's for sure. Okay, so this
Rail Salt Lake
is it's traveling for the first time. I never know what to expect. I don't think anyone does. I don't think any Sounders fan knows what to expect when the Sounders and Rail Salt Lake face each other. It's one of the most exciting non-rivalry rivalries that's out there. We battle them a lot in the playoffs. It's really. I never know. They come here and I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. And then like they beat us by a few here, and then we go there and we beat them by a few. And it's like it's a very exciting dynamic relationship that really gets overshadowed by Portland, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those matchups that actually probably has as much history in MLS for the Sounders as any other team. And that goes back to the playoffs in 2011 when the Sounders got beaten 3-0 there and won 2-0 at home and got knocked out. And the year after, drew 0-0 at home and then won 1-0 at Salt Lake for the Sounders' first ever series win in a playoff.
Oh, my God.
Too early right now to know what's going to happen in this game, because it's too early in the season to make any predictions about any teams.
Sure.
We were talking about this last year, weren't we? Probably 7 or 8 games in, you can make predictions. So right now, who knows? Who knows what will happen in the game? But what you did allude to quite rightly is that there's a lot of history there. The Sounders haven't won in Rio Tinto Stadium since May 2011.
What?
Lost their last 4 games there.
Wait, in the regular season?
In the regular season.
Okay. Wow, that's crazy.
I mentioned that playoff win in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's writing this down. Clearly I'm being interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. On the back of the business card with the Tyrannosaurus on. Good. Don't scribble over the Tyrannosaurus. But then at home, Seattle had done very well against Rail Salt Lake. You remember the 3-1 win on the last day of last season to secure the playoff place. So, yeah, who knows?
Sure.
Generally, the road trips have not been kind to Seattle. And actually, Rio Tinto Stadium was the scene of the biggest blow-up I'd ever engaged in with Ziggy Schmidt at half-time. When this is probably a couple of years ago.
Oh, the dirt.
It was on air. I mean, write this down.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to look this up and see if I can find it.
It was a good old, it wasn't a spat between us, but it was a little back and forth.
I was hoping you guys were fighting.
Ah, sorry. Sorry, no fight. He was fighting with his players, I think, at halftime. The Sounders were awful. They were 2-0 down at halftime. Could have been 8-0 down. And Ziggy very graciously always did a halftime interview with us on TV, straight at the whistle. So you get that raw emotion. That's exactly what he was thinking at the time, 2-0 down.
I'll slow that down. I'll pitch it so it's a... Okay, does that work?
Yeah. So the Sounders are 2-0 down at half time, and Ziggy comes over to do his interview, and It's one of those where you just know whatever you ask him, he's going to give you his honest opinion. So you don't need to be too technical with your question. So what do you make of the first half?
We were horrible. We were horrible.
That was it. Pause. Okay, tell us why. Obvious follow-up question.
Well, we didn't keep the ball for the first 20 minutes. We weren't tracking our runners, gave up terrible goals. It was just awful.
And now normally at the end of the half-time interview, we ask two questions. Normally the first question was me and the second question was Casey Keller. But Casey was busting for the toilet, so went just before half-time and wasn't there for the interview. And actually it played into my hands so I could ask all the questions, so I was totally in control of the flow of the interview, which is, as you know, as a broadcaster, you like to do that better.
Journalism.
Yeah, and I asked him the follow-up why, and normally that's the end of it, but it was such good stuff because he was so angry, I thought, I'm going to pop a third question here because this is TV gold. Said, okay, well, what are you going to tell your players then at halftime to sort it out? He just goes, I'm going to scream at them. And then gets his headset and yanks it off his head and throws it to the floor and storms off.
Incredible.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks very much. Ziggy Smith there, clearly a little bit annoyed with his team. We'll have more after this break.
Well, because there was a, is it Levy Films? Is that the guy who does all the great footage of the Sounders? And there was one after the loss to Real Salt Lake where it was like a bad loss on the road.
2011 playoffs.
And he lost his mind and
in
went
the locker
bonkers
room.
In the locker room. And it was awesome to see that kind of, I know that he's maintaining a professional air about himself when he's out on the field, and usually he wouldn't throw his headset when he's talking to you on the air, but he goes in there and it's F-bombs and like he's astonished by everything that's happening. So to find out that, to have him actually have a public moment of that is fantastic.
Very rare for any coach to do that. So yeah, as a journalist, you kind of enjoy those moments for the coach. You feel for them, but at the same time, you've risen above the mundane with the, yes, well, the boys played well and we maybe need to play better in the second half. So yeah, that was one of the bogey moments for Seattle at Real Salt Lake, and they've had a few good old battles down the years.
You gotta get comfy, kid.
Yeah.
There we go.
She's comfy.
Okay, what do you expect out of the team this weekend? What do you want to see?
Well, it all depends, really, on the personnel again. So O'Neill Fisher suspended, whether Brad Evans...
If he goes out right back, or if he's going to sit central... I mean, who do they play centrally? If he doesn't play center back, then do they put Roldan out to the right then?
So the Sounders have got selection issues. If Brad Evans doesn't play, Freeburg and Mears, who are all banged up at the moment... It might be they have to go with someone like Christian Roldan at right back, which clearly...
He was hungry on Sunday night. He was out there really barking at people and like really chasing people down, getting a bit chippy is the word I learned from you.
He's a confident young lad. Whether it's his best position, it's not, clearly. So it might be a mend and make do scenario for the Sounders. You just hope they can get the most out of their front three. See if this 4-3-3 works and then hope that they get their first points on the board of the season.
What's RSL look like? Are they... I mean, it's always Beckerman is what I always think of.
Yeah, a team that were horrible last year. Their coach held on to his job, Jeff Kassar, and they haven't massively shaken things up. They brought in one of their former strikers, a guy called Yura Movsisian, who was playing in the Russian Premier League. Again, jury's out on how good they'll be this season. As I say, they crumbled late with a 2-0 lead at Orlando to draw 2-2. Watch out for João Plata. The little Ecuadorian guy, one of the smallest guys in the league at 5'3", and that's probably being generous. He's nippy. He's got a bit of pace, can finish well. Kind of guy that will get you double digit goals in a good season. And they're still, I think, trying to find their right combination. So as always, Seattle will play aggressively on the road. They always do. Not every team does. And early in the season, anything can happen.
Still 99 points up for offer is what Ziggy said, which is pretty cool. Now, Ross, I'd love to talk to you more, but NASCAR Hub Live just came on in the background now that the Champions League game is gone, and there's some Tony Stewart news that's happening, so...
You better go burn some rubber.
I gotta run.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.